Want to hear something crazy? None of my biggest breakthroughs or best creative ideas have come to me while I'm sitting at my desk working at my computer. They've come to me when I've created periods of inspiration and reflection and gotten out of my day-to-day environment. In today's episode, I want to introduce you to the concept of creating white space in your calendar and in your life and how it's going to be your antidote to stuckness and lack of inspiration or motivation in your business. We're going to talk about some other ways too that you can bust through creative blocks. I also believe that implementing this practice routinely can stave off burnout, and this has 100% been my experience. When I've prioritized white space, I've been creative in a more sustained way. Business has felt more joyful and it has felt a lot more productive, ironically, than times where I have put my nose to the grindstone and completely ignored everything else in order to get things done. Now, during the times where I'm implementing white space, I'm not generally working more or less, but I'm more productive in my work. And it feels more joyful when there is that prioritization of things outside of just sitting at the computer and getting things done. So if you've struggled with making decisions, focusing on the bigger picture in your business, or getting creative ideas to flow, you are going to love this episode. This is not another generic monologue about how rest will make you more productive. This is a deep dive backed by research and science into helping your brain operate at its best and building a fulfilling and productive work life. Because I can give you the strategy day in, day out, but if you don't have the capacity to implement it into your business and to have creative ideas to build your business, it's not going to be as impactful as it could be. I'm going to show you why white space is one of the most powerful tools we have in our arsenal as creative entrepreneurs, how to spark inspiration and innovation intentionally, the psychological benefits of taking breaks, and I'm going to walk you through some tools and techniques you can start implementing today. I want to help you bust through those creative blocks, enjoy your business, and really trust yourself as the expert in your life and in your business. So let's get into it. Welcome to The Visionary Rising, the podcast for freedom-seeking, heart-led creative entrepreneurs, course creators, and online business owners. I'm Jody Brown, marketing-obsessed hairstylist turned content creation agency owner and visibility mentor, and I'm here to help you build your magnetic brand, grow your audience, and become the authority in your space. You'll get the most up-to-date conversations and strategies on visibility, marketing, social media, mindset, and entrepreneurship so that you can grow your business in a way that feels as good as it looks. Here, we keep it real and go beyond the basics. I'm obsessed with helping creatives get seen and heard and paid well for their work. Beyond a podcast, this is a movement. Welcome to The Visionary Rising. Before we get into the episode today, take a second to think if any other creatives who've struggled with creative blocks or burnout in their work. If so, take a minute and just text them the link to this podcast episode because it is going to be a game changer. I am so excited for this one. We all know the term writer's block, right? Well, this is something I believe we all experience as creative entrepreneurs on occasion. Not necessarily writing, but a creative block of some kind. It's not a coincidence that you'll hear of creatives a lot of the time locking themselves away when they are immersed in their work, like high-profile writers or writers specifically, artists. Maya Angelou used to rent hotel rooms alone to work on her writing. Beethoven would take long walks by himself in nature and then isolate to work on his music. Stephen King, J.K. Rowling, Virginia Woolf, Mark Twain, all reported doing the same thing. If we go back in time just over 4 years, I think that the reason so many beautiful new businesses and creative brands were born out of the collective forced respite from our day-to-day routines, back when the P word happened, is because of that forced white space we had. We were able to get quiet and think about what we actually wanted for our lives. This also exists on a smaller scale, and as a result of switching up our environment, it doesn't need to be a massive chunk of time. It can be inspiration from micro moments and novel environments. Though I'm going to give you a personal example because my retreat business, Escape to Elevate, was actually born out of a 2-week vacation and a morning completely alone, totally by myself, sitting with my journal and a cappuccino looking out at Lake Garda in northern Italy. So this was a trip that I had taken with my family, and it was a super jam-packed trip. It was our first time in Italy. We did a lot of sightseeing. We went to multiple locations, and we were really just trying to experience as much of the country as possible. And then one morning, my husband decided to go fishing, and I was having breakfast and reading a book, which was The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks, if you're curious, alone on the terrace at our hotel. The setting was so serene that I found myself putting down the book and just sitting quietly because there's something about water for me. There's something about just quiet and just being in an environment that felt really soothing. And maybe you've experienced this camping or out hiking somewhere beautiful, or when you're traveling and you just have one of those moments where you see something so beautiful. This can even happen in your hometown if you're really lucky. And you just stop and drink it in because it's so beautiful and it inspires you in a way. So after a few moments, I grabbed my journal and the ideas just started flowing. There were blocks that I'd had in my business for a long time that all of a sudden I had ideas and solutions, and I could literally feel the inspiration flowing through me. It sounds like a little bit woo, I know, but this is the only way I can describe it. And I realized after this happened that I got this like flash of clarity that I had to share the feeling I had just had with my community, with my peers, with my clients. And I had to figure out a way to give this experience of inspiration and clarity and facilitate creativity with the brilliant educators and entrepreneurs that I work with. And that is how Escape to Elevate came to be. And it's not lost on me that before this wave of inspo happened, I was reading The Big Leap, which dives into the concept of zone of genius. And the retreat is focused on helping creative and beauty entrepreneurs and educators find their vision and purpose and craft a marketing strategy and brand around that. And the thing that I always think about is this idea has literally changed lives. And I've seen it happen. We've now hosted 2 retreats in Europe. We're actually hosting our 3rd this October. So if you want to get some info on that, we're starting the mastermind in August. But if you want to get more info on that, just either send me a DM on Instagram at @itsjodybrown or go comment escape on any of my posts and it'll send you some info. But this entire business and all the impact that it has created might not have ever existed if it weren't for that trip and me giving myself permission to step out of my day-to-day environment and start thinking differently and thinking bigger. And it's funny because that's exactly what I've noticed from our attendees. So it all kind of has come full circle. I can honestly think of dozens of more examples, though, like being at the beach. I remember one time I was at the beach in the summer, and this was when I was in the infancy of my online business, but I was laying there and I just got a ton of ideas. So I try to carry a notebook and I try to not have my phone on me as often as possible when I'm doing this kind of stuff, because it's so easy to get distracted and start scrolling. Whereas if you just have a notebook where you can write down your own ideas instead of consuming other people, it's really beneficial for your creativity. A lot of people note, and you may have even said this, that you get your best ideas in the shower or on a walk. And I think that's because those are the moments where we're not consuming anything. This isn't a coincidence. This is time where I want to get a little bit nerdy and go in on some of the studies and back things up before we get into the action steps for today's episode. So first, let's define what white space actually means. In the design world, and in its literal sense, it means the negative space around design elements. So essentially, negative space is synonymous with white space. If that helps you picture it a little bit more clearly, feel free to use that phrase instead. Jeffrey Zeldman is a web design expert, and he is quoted with saying, "White space is like air. It is necessary for design to breathe." And I love this quote because I think it translates perfectly to creativity. According to Psychology Today, Metaphorical white space provides a mental break which allows creators to step back and see their work with fresh eyes. This mental clarity helps in better problem solving and ideation. So if you have been sitting trying to figure out an issue and you've just been getting like really burnt out, just trying to force yourself to solve a problem, maybe the better idea is actually to let it breathe a little bit. And I'm actually going to share some studies that indicate this. So another great way of phrasing this concept from the Harvard Business Review is by creating space in the schedule, creatives can reflect on their work, leading to deeper insights and more meaningful connections between ideas. So as you can see, white space is not only important for design, it's important for every creative business owner under the sun. In design, it enhances visual appeal and it allows you to really see the different elements clearly. In writing, it creates pauses and emphasizes points, and it allows the reader to consume more easily. And actually, in all of the Instagram and content courses that I've ever taught, white space is something we talk about in relation to captions. So you don't want the words to look like a block of text. You want there to be space and room to breathe so that your audience can actually consume the information better. In your daily life, white space might look like rest, relaxation, reflection, and fun, non-productive activities like getting out in nature, meditation, or a hobby. And actually doing the work is vital, of course. I want to be clear on that because I think that the whole idea of like, you just have to rest your way to millions is really misinterpreted by a lot of the people recommending it. But creating time to think and ideate and figuring out what makes you feel most creative is part of that work. I remember hearing years and years ago that when Einstein was stuck on a math problem, he would go play violin. And so through today's episode, we're going to discover what your version of playing the violin is and how you can get unstuck when those inevitable creative lulls happen. If you're anything like me, understanding the science behind this phenomenon is going to really help you stick with it. But before we dive into the practical ways you can create white space for that beautiful creative brain of yours, I want to dive into the three biggest benefits of this practice, and I can attest to every single one of these. So the first major benefit is it enhances focus and clarity. Now, we've already touched on this first one a little bit, but white space in your schedule is like white space in design in that it allows the essential elements to stand out and be more effective. So this means by stepping back a little bit, you'll be more clearly able to see the bigger picture and zoom out, which allows you to be more effective when you are working. And this is something I notice on our retreats a lot. We definitely mix culture and all of the things with the education, which is why we do the mastermind beforehand so that you get the full transformation and you still have the white space for that inspiration to hit. And so I think that's a really important thing to consider. Here's an analogy that I love. Think about your desk for a second, or wherever you do work at home. When you have papers and pens, old coffee cups, journals, planners, and 10 different lip balms, if you're anything like me, spread across its surface, you're going to have a really hard time finding what you need. It's like trying to find a needle in a haystack, right? When your desk is clean and it's organized and everything has its place and there's plenty of space in between each object so you can see clearly where everything is, you barely have to look. You can clearly see what it is that you're looking for, right? This is pretty much how it works in your brain too when you create white space in your calendar. You're helping clear that mental clutter so that you can see things more clearly. Another example of a famous creative in history who subscribed to this practice is Leonardo da Vinci, who spoke of letting his mind wander, and he credited this to his innovations both in art and in science, and he is such a prolific influence on the world. I think it's really evident that there's a pattern here. I also remember reading the book Big Magic from Elizabeth Gilbert. And she talks about a poet who had actually held her job at a university before her. And his last name was also Gilbert. And what he would do is he would have these epic releases. He would be in the public eye for a while, and then he would completely disappear for years and even decades at a time, right? So this was to really just get out of the public eye and have time to get quiet and work on what he was doing. And so obviously this is not feasible for most of us, depending on what our family situations, work situations are like, but it's just another example of how important that white space actually is. Now, a trick that I use that isn't exactly traditional white space, but I do find it clears my brain of the noise so I can focus on creative tasks like writing, is putting on a binaural Beats. I could be pronouncing that totally wrong. It's BINAURAL. And I just search it on Apple Music. I search binaural Beats Focus, and it's in the background so it doesn't distract me like music with words. But I find that it crowds out the other thoughts and distractions enough to help my focus. So I wanted to include this idea in this section because if you're easily distracted like me and a lot of other creatives, you may want to try this out. The next benefit is that creating white space will allow you to have new ideas and actually innovate in your business instead of just going through the motions. I already shared my experience with this and how my retreat business was born. And now I want to talk about another proven method to busting through creative blocks, especially when it comes to new ideas. So if you've never heard of an incubation period, I'm going to talk about exactly what that is. Instead of expecting yourself to flesh out every single detail of a new idea right away, you can actually introduce an incubation period. This concept was introduced in a book called The Art of Thought, which was published all the way back in 1926. So this is how long this concept goes back. It breaks the creative process down into four phases: preparation, incubation, illumination, and verification. So the incubation period is basically stepping away from focused work to allow your subconscious mind to continue processing the idea. This is the very practice that can lead to those sudden flashes of clarity and breakthroughs. Neuroscientists and educators have confirmed the role of the incubation period as fostering the aha moments that we absolutely live for as creative entrepreneurs. A study from the University of California, Santa Barbara, found that breaks for mind wandering allow the brain to make unexpected connections. I'm going to introduce you to some tangible ways that you can incorporate this into your work a little bit later on in the episode. I was really excited to learn this information because basically what I am saying is that instead of worrying about a problem and stressing until you figure it all the way out, go do something else. Go do something that has nothing to do with your work, which I think will probably come as a bit of a relief, right? When we're stuck, we don't just have to slog through. Is preventing burnout and reducing your stress as an entrepreneur. I want to share something a little bit personal. I love my business, I love my work, and I love my clients. And for that reason, it is pretty easy for me to fall into overworking. And I'm absolutely not trying to say this as a humble brag. In fact, quite the opposite. It's something that I have to be conscious of because every single time I let my own boundaries slide on a continual basis, it leads to more stress and a spiral into burnout, honestly. Now, there are obviously times in business or life where you get a little busier, there's more work to do, and maybe the amount of free time you have will be less, and that's okay. You don't need to beat yourself up about it because I haven't actually found that periods of more work are necessarily what contributes to the burnout, ironically. I find that during the times that I do have a lot more work, as long as I'm intentional about small pockets of downtime and white space, I think it's fine. I find when things get busier, it's actually just more important for me to make time for things like physical activity and breaks wherever I can. We aren't doing ourselves, the people we love, or our clients any favors by reaching a burnout point. I promise you that. So taking regular breaks and incorporating downtime into your schedule, no matter how busy it is, scientifically proven to reduce your stress and to prevent burnout, which is vital for creative. Because speaking from personal experience, the creative ideas are a lot fewer and further between when we're burnt out. And this is something that I definitely had to learn the hard way in the first year as an online entrepreneur. Since I have been a lot more mindful over the past 3 years, I am happy to report that the burnout feeling has never crept all the way back in. According to the American Psychological Association, taking breaks can reduce your stress by 40. That is huge. And also it improves your general mental well-being. So think about working out, right? You need rest days in order to recover and for your muscles to grow. The strength does not increase while you're working out. It increases during the rest period afterwards. Your brain needs that same recovery time, both to process information and also to generate new ideas. There's Anne Lamott quote that I love that says, "Almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you." The thing I want to underline from this quote is a few minutes. You don't necessarily have to lock yourself in a hotel room, or if we're romanticizing, a castle in a faraway land. You don't have to take a 2-week vacation in Europe to reap the benefits. Although if that's your jam, I definitely recommend it. If you can work white space into your schedule on a super frequent basis in little chunks, you will still reap massive. All right, we have talked about the undisputable proof that you need white space. Now, let's talk about how to create it. I'm also going to share some other tips I use to increase my creativity and bust through creative blocks. All right, so number one is intentionally managing your time to create white space. One well-known way of doing this to increase your productivity and creativity is the Pomodoro technique. I always laugh because I started learning Italian a couple years ago, and Pomodoro actually means tomato. And I found out that it's named after the tomato-shaped kitchen timer that Francesco Cirillo, the creator of this technique, used during university. But I digress. The Pomodoro technique is a time-blocking method where you take short but frequent breaks and focus on one task at a time. So here's how it works. Number one, you would choose a task. So you select a task that you want to work on to the exclusion of all others. You then would set a timer for 25 minutes, which he refers to as one Pomodoro, and then you work on that task exclusively until the timer rings. After it rings, you take a short break, so take a 5-minute break to rest and recharge, and then you repeat. So this can be repeating on the same task, it can be repeating on different tasks, but you need to definitely stick to the same task for the 25 minutes. And then after 4 Pomodoros, you would take a longer break, which would be like 15 to 30 minutes. There is a ton of research and evidence to back up the effectiveness of this method versus just trying to focus for extended periods of time. One of the most notable is from a study published in the journal Cognition, which found that brief diversions can dramatically improve focus, with short breaks restoring attention and reducing fatigue. There are a ton of other time-blocking methods, so try finding one that works for you. There's things such as the 90-minute work cycle from Tony Schwartz and Jim Lohr, The Power of Full Engagement, which proposes a 90-minute work block followed by 20 to 30-minute break. Feel free to play around and just find what works best for you. But it is undisputed that implementing some sort of time blocking with breaks is going to really help. I want to bring attention to another study I saw actually as a headline recently, which I love the idea of, and I've tried to implement this into most of my weeks, and that is the concept of one lazy day per week. There was a study done recently that was highlighted by Tromeg, and it found that one lazy day per week can have really significant impact on both mental and physical health. It was shown to reduce stress and high blood pressure, improve mental well-being, and boost overall productivity, which it's so interesting. We always think that the key is to just keep pushing and work harder and just keep going against everything. And tenacity is absolutely essential for being an entrepreneur. But consistency doesn't look like full out 24 hours a day. Consistency looks like showing up on a consistent basis on a schedule that works for you. I really want you to think about this. So again, this study emphasizes taking a break from all work-related tasks and truly relaxing, because it's going to lead to enhanced cognitive function, creativity, and a better mood. There are many different ways to create this white space on a permanent basis, even if it means blocking out an hour or two on your calendar every week to just let your mind wander and relax. I'd love for you to send me a DM on Instagram and let me know which of these methods you're going to implement or what your thoughts are on this concept of breaking up your workday and creating intentional downtime instead of just pushing all the way through. All right, next, we're going to talk about optimizing your environment and creating a physical space that boosts creativity. I want to touch on both the environment you work in and also one of the best places to spend time during your white space breaks and time away. Firstly, don't underestimate the power of decluttering your workspace. I notice an immediate difference when I take the time to remove anything that has accumulated on my desk or in my office whenever my brain is feeling a little bit foggy. Even if you don't have a dedicated office, try just decluttering and tidying up whatever area you work in. I know I can't be the only person who binge-watched the Marie Kondo series on Netflix when it came out a few years ago. It's a super satisfying series where organization consultant Marie Kondo, who is the author of a book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, where she helped people declutter and organize their homes. It's not as superficial as it seems, my friend. Clutter-free environments help reduce stress and it allows for clearer thinking, which is essential, of course, for creativity. In fact, there's research from Princeton University Neuroscience Institute, which found that physical clutter in your surrounding competes for your attention, which results in decreased performance and increased stress. The study showed that visual stimuli in the cluttered environment affected task performance and attention. So it's definitely worth taking a few minutes to prepare your work environment, especially during times that you're feeling a little bit blocked. All right, next I'm going to touch on, like I mentioned, how you can supercharge those white space breaks and your time off for maximum recharging, and also bring a little of the magic into your workspace too. Studies show, and this is something that is proven time and time again, that spending time in nature or even incorporating natural elements into your workspace can enhance creativity, and the evidence of this seems pretty indisputable. A study published in the Journal of Environmental Psychology showed that even short interactions with nature, such as having a view of greenery from a window or a few plants in the workspace, can actually improve cognitive function and increase your attention span. And this is something, if you follow me on Instagram, you'll see that I have been posting in my stories recently. One of my new non-negotiables over the summer is to get a walk in nature every single day. And I live in a pretty flat town. There's not a whole lot of nature, but we do have a ravine area, which is like little, but really pretty. And then a little man-made pond with trees all around it. And so I try to go and actually just sit in that nature space and do a little meditation with my kiddo. And it has been so huge for my productivity and also just for my general happiness, honestly. According to Harvard Health, which backs up this idea, spending time in nature reduces your stress, anxiety, and depression, which of course are all barriers to creative thinking. If you can get out and get moving during some of your breaks during the day, it can be really helpful. And this is one of my personal non-negotiables. Taking walks, especially in natural settings, has been shown to improve creative thinking. Steve Jobs, who co-founded Apple, you might even be listening to this on a device that is a direct result of his creativity, was known for his walking meetings because he believed that they sparked more creative ideas than sitting in a boardroom. And Stanford University backs that all the way up because they found that walking in nature yields more creative output compared to walking in urban environments. Participants who walked in a natural setting experienced a 50% boost in creativity compared to those who walked in an urban environment. So even if you live in a city, it's likely that there are parks or green spaces nearby. And if not, even incorporating some plants and natural elements into your home or office can help. If you don't have any of this by your home, try occasionally going and working in a coffee shop that's by a really treed area. It can make such a difference. Now, this next tip isn't white space specifically, but when it comes to boosting creativity, I have a strategy I fall back on that helps me almost every time, and that is switching up my environment. I actually gathered the source material and research and wrote most of this episode in a coffee shop. I got a decaf cappuccino, put on some binaural beats, and several hours later, I actually outlined more than one episode and mapped out 3 months of podcast content, which will trickle down into most of my other content channels. Creative blocks happen, and having this trick up my sleeve to help bust them has been so helpful. So think, is there anywhere that you love going or a trigger that makes you feel extra creative? If so, make a mental note so that next time you're in a slump, you've got something to pull out of your hat to help you. All right, as creative entrepreneurs who are at the very least marketing our businesses online, if not fulfilling most of our client tasks online, the next one is very important. Consider a digital detox if you're really feeling stuck or burnt out, or even just as a practice. We are all subject to a lot of noise and distraction just by having a tiny little computer with access to near infinite amounts of information on the internet, in our pocket, or on our desk within a foot of us at all times. So scheduling regular digital detoxes, even mini ones such as tech-free hours or days, can really help create that mental white space. I use an app called Opal to block out work-related and social media apps for a few hours every evening. And I also will use it when I'm doing focused work sprints, or if I notice myself just scrolling for no reason, I will go into Opal and I will just quickly turn on like a block, and so I can think and go do something else. There, I'm sure, are other apps, but this is the one that I've used, and I'm still using the free version. It works really well. Unplugging from technology, though, I think is going to become more and more essential the more connected our world becomes. And don't get me wrong, I'm of course grateful for the opportunities afforded to us by technology and social media, but I am a firm believer we just aren't meant to be connected at all hours of the day, right? It takes a job to a 24-hour job, especially if you are someone who is working online. And I used to feel very much at the mercy of my DMs, and I thought I had to respond to them all immediately. And something that I've even just given myself permission to do is when I'm in a concentrated work sprint. So right now I am really heavily in on my agency and also batching as much content as possible because there's a lot going on in the next few months. It sometimes means that I'm just taking a lot more breaks from social. So I'll still post on there and I'll still take a minute to connect with my community. But I give myself permission to maybe not answer every single DM as soon as it comes in, or, you know, maybe go through and clear my DMs a couple times a week instead of a couple times a day. If you implement some of the techniques and strategies in this episode, you'll implement these tech breaks almost by accident, but getting intentional with it can be a massive service to yourself as well. There's mounting evidence that reducing screen time can help restore your brain's ability to generate new ideas. Because think about it, if you are constantly consuming and consuming and consuming, we're never giving that space and that time to actually create ourselves. Studies show that taking breaks from technology can significantly lower stress levels and help your brain function better. Arianna Huffington is a well-known author, and she is the founder of the Huffington Post. You've probably heard of it. She was one of Time Magazine's most influential people, so she knows a thing or two about creativity. And in her book, Thrive, she advocates for unplugging from technology for both well-being and productivity. And she suggests creating specific times and places for a digital detox, specifically for creativity and mental clarity. All right, so we've talked about three ways that you can create some space, both physically and mentally. I can't wait to hear how these work for you, because implementing all three of them in different capacities has allowed me to stave off burnout even when I'm incredibly busy with my work and personal life. So I have a challenge for you. I want you to think of just one way you're going to implement each of these strategies for an entire week to see how you feel. This could be extremely simple. For example, if you're currently eating lunch at your laptop while simultaneously scrolling through Instagram, maybe you block out a legitimate 30-minute lunch break and you sit and you eat lunch mindfully. And then maybe you take a little stroll through a green space without checking your phone. Maybe you leave your phone in your room for an hour or two every morning or every evening, Or try downloading an app blocker like Opal if you want to have your phone on you in case of calls or texts or emergencies or whatever. You can still dumb down your smartphone a little bit by removing access to whatever apps you find are the most distracting. Maybe it's trying the Pomodoro technique or the 90-minute work block method. If the idea of taking breaks or putting your phone down is bringing up a lot of resistance, and trust me, I relate to this because I totally felt that way, especially at the beginning of my business. I thought I had to be connected 24/7. If that's how you're feeling, it's probably a sign that you really, really need to prioritize doing this. Being an online business owner does not mean being chronically online 24 hours a day. At least it doesn't have to. So if you want to give yourself a little extra accountability, feel free to enlist a friend or post on your stories over on Instagram and tag me at @itsjodybrown to let me know which one of these methods you're going to use. Try creating this white space and following through for even just a week to start and see how it impacts your creativity, productivity, and the way that you feel in general. You know how powerful creating white space in your calendar and environment can be, both for your creativity and also avoiding burnout after this episode. So by intentionally incorporating those breaks and decluttered spaces into your routine, you can enhance your focus and just look after yourself. So like I said in this episode, just to recap, techniques like the Pomodoro method and digital detoxes are ways that you can actually make sure you get those necessary mental breaks and keep your creativity flowing. Remember that the best ideas often come when you step away from your desk and give your mind the freedom to wander. Implement these strategies and see the difference they make in your productivity and creativity. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Visionary Rising podcast. Take a second, if you haven't already, to hit subscribe and leave a rating or review. And send me a DM over on Instagram if there are any topics that you would like to see me chat about here on the podcast. See you next week.